stupid word. I thought you were like gonna talk about something with the word stupid, not dongle.
No, I was totally gonna say something about the word smart. Let me see something here with this light.
Okay.
There, I actually think that's a little bit better. And yeah, I guess that's fine. Screw it. There's video, music, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Daily Cup of Genre, the show where we get to talk about everything in geek, pop culture, news, entertainment, all that good stuff. Brought to you by the good folks over at Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. If you're watching us on LRM's YouTube channel, please hit that subscribe button and hit the bell so you can be notified. And if you're listening on audio, wherever you're listening at, hit the follow button on that app on the Genreverse Podcast Network. Bookmark LRM on online.com and genreverse.com if people still use bookmarks. What else am I missing? The Twitter information down below. You guys know the deal. I'm Kyle Malone and this is Christine.
Hi.
Malone. We're married. For those of you that might be new, welcome to the show. Christine, what's up, babe?
Oh, not much. I was just watching the cat, watching the mask. She stared at it for like a long time. I'm like, is she gonna freak out or...
I don't know. She sheds really bad though. So
yes.
Sometimes I fell out of frame. Sometimes when she's when I'm working, she'll come up and hang out while we while I work and while you're working next to me. But I say hi, Kione. Hi. Okay. Anyways, it's Monday, and you know what, Christine? If you don't mind, could you keep tab of our topics, please? It's really hard for me to... I'm going to grab you a pencil. It's really hard for me to write it down and talk at the same time. But, you know, it's Monday, guys. And one of the things I always really, really enjoy doing on Mondays, and I just realized how far away the damn screen is. But that's okay, because I can do this. Oh, zoom in. Anyways, I love to look at the... at the box office numbers, and it's not necessarily Christine's most favorite thing in the world, but it's really, really important in the entertainment industry because, well, this is the lifeblood of it, right? If we're not watching stuff and it's not making money, then how are they supposed to make more stuff, right? And
exactly.
I don't want to get into the usual weeds of you know, hey guys, stop waiting for it to be, you know, free or included with your subscription service, and unless you're out there buying shirts and stuff. But it was a crazy weekend, so to speak. Venom had a 64% drop, which is on par with most other films that we saw this year, except for Shang-Chi, which did really outstanding. But Black Widow and several others were in that 60-70 percent drop. This one had a 71. Candyman did really well, and it was one of those outliers we thought, but then Shang-Chi did really well as well. And then, of course, there was the craziness that was Free Guy with its, you know, 35% drop, again, from a low number. But what made it so crazy is when you get down into all of it, those odd outliers no longer seem like just outliers. No Time to Die had a very low opening overall, 56 million, less than Venom's opening the previous weekend, less than Shang-Chi, less than Black Widow. You know, it's not a great look. And I think it's less than Black Widow with the Disney Plus stuff. I can't remember. It's a original theater only. What was it? 80. Okay, so no, it's way less than Widows. It kind of says there's no way theaters are getting enough people for two blockbusters, like two AAA titles back to back. This really looks like some people went back for maybe some repeat viewings, or people that were deciding between the two only saw one this weekend. I'm curious if Venom is not in theaters for its second week here, like let's say this was its third week, would more people have gone to see No Time to Die, Brian brought that up.
Oh.
So,
yeah, I'd rather see Venom than No Time to Die. I'm sorry. I'm all James Bonded out.
Really? And you're you're a Bond fan. Why are you bonded out?
I don't know. I've watched, because I grew up watching all those movies. And, you know, I've watched some of the newer ones, and I don't know. It's just kind of like I'm tired of it.
I can get that. And I'm going to say I am sorry for one thing, everyone. I am supposed to, I'm supposed to be recording a separate audio channel just in case. And if we sound odd for the first few minutes, I apologize for that, guys. Anyways, just to kind of hit back on the Venom thing, you and I live in a very populated area, about 1.5 to 1.7 million in the area. We went to see Venom in a decent, you know, theater that's usually pretty popular. How many, you know, packed shows have we seen in the RPX screen, 2019 and back, you know? Yeah. But when we went and saw Venom, it was a primetime showing, you know, on a non-school day. And it was like Sunday afternoon, like early afternoon. So like usually after your religious services for most Americans at least, and everyone should be awake by then.
Yeah.
But it was maybe a quarter capacity. And we have no indoor capacity limits at our theaters that I'm tracking in Virginia. But yeah, it was maybe a quarter full.
Something like that. Yeah, there wasn't very busy.
Yeah. So to wrap up this, because Christine doesn't really like to dig into them too much. Basically, what I'm getting at is people are just seeing whatever they want to. There is no guaranteed money right now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing. And one thing I definitely think Brian's on to, and we might be able to tell a little bit later because we got a pretty packed November and December coming up, can theaters sustain two AAA releases at one time? I don't know. I don't think so.
Especially with holiday season, you know, people spend more money. Food is getting more and more expensive. Yeah. Gas is getting more expensive, so I'm wondering if people are like, you know, with, you know, snacks and the tickets themselves, maybe not. So I'm gonna
bring this just a little closer to you.
Okay, then.
You're good.
So yeah, I don't know if they will. Maybe kind of difficult.
Yeah, and I brought up all these other numbers to kind of like what I did before, look at the similar drops that those second weekends. And There is still a little bit of a pattern. It's a wider swath. It's not as quite of a tight shot group as you usually see. But it's definitely that 50% drop that we used to see and less, and be like, oh, haha, you know, you had a 55% drop. That sucks. I don't think that's the goalpost anymore. I think having more than a 70% drop might be the new goalpost, with that 55 to 60%, or that, excuse me, that 55 to 65% being like for the cream of the crop, with that 65 to 70% being the one where you're kind of like, oh, did you really do as great as you think? But we'll see what happens. One thing that a lot of people, Christine, and I wonder what you kind of think of this. Something that I've brought up, excuse me, and hey, look, it's our podcast network. one of the things that you and I are, that I've brought up to a lot of people with the streaming thing, is Hollywood eventually, in order to get their money back, well, one of the options is to end these short release windows and go with go back to more like what we had in, you know, 2018, 19, where it's like a, you know, 4 months in the theaters before it's on digital and home video. Do you think Hollywood can actually get us back to that, or would consumers rebel? Would they?
I don't think that people would want to do that. To have with today the way things are, I don't think that having a movie in theaters for 4 months would be something that would be possible, because it would just be dead for a while. I think people are just like ready for the next new thing. And it'll just, they may want to view something again. It's not going to be like the way it was before. So I don't know. I just think that people are quick to move on now. You know, things are so speedy.
Yeah. It's very front loaded, but the problem is there's becoming that bigger group of people that are like, oh, 90 days and it'll be on digital. I can wait. Then once it's on digital, whether we like it or not, piracy exists, and the streaming age has made it to where, I'm not saying break the law, I do not support breaking the law, but for people that have, you know, different circumstances or thought processes, when it looks that good, why not, you know? So between I can wait and either I'm not paying for it, or I can't afford it, or I can't get it to where I'm at, all still illegal, various moral issues, but piracy being a thing, I mean – What's the answer then? Because that's just going to keep growing. What about if you put a gap in it? It's like, okay, look, it's only in theaters for, you know, 45 days, but after that, there's 45 days of nothing. Like,
yeah,
there's no home video, no digital. You do that for like a year, and then you introduce on the, you know, other end of that, you know, pushing it out to like 90 days in theaters, and then it hits digital and home video. Could you? I'm just wondering how to get
revenue money in for them. Yeah,
because nobody wants to go out and buy this stuff, but millennials and Gen Xers pretty much, and we're only buying a few pieces that are, you know, big and you know, I'll say expensive in air quotes. You know, for some people $20 is expensive, for others $150 is expensive. So yeah. but regardless it's they're not selling the amount of merchandise that they did before to masses of 8 to 13 year olds, you know.
Yeah, I think when it comes to merchandise, I don't know what, you know, like our generation and Gen Z are like with clothing. But if you have something that's high quality, you know, maybe that might, where it's like you put in the effort, maybe they'll buy something that's expensive when it comes to clothing. Because I remember, like, we were at a show and I got a Newfound Glory hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it felt compared to an older one that I had, I'm just like, this feels cheap.
Yeah.
I don't like it, and that's annoying. Throw a
favorite band under the butt.
I'm just saying, put in the quality, and yeah, it, you know, with it being even just a little more expensive, at least it'll last. Maybe people would be more drawn to buy something that's clothing instead of, you know, something that would just take up shelf space.
Maybe. And you're talking about instead of like just the regular like Hot Topic or Walmart branded t-shirt for your latest pop culture entertainment craze.
Because what we got going on right now, and that's something that I really enjoy, is like shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I can't keep them nice. I don't keep shoes nice, but there is that demand, and they do mm-hmm. have some really cool shoes. So like, you know, having some kind of like you know, little collab with like Reebok or something would be, you know, cool. You know, they've got some really cool stuff, and I've covered that before in articles. That and, you know, maybe like I just mentioned, hoodies. I love hoodies, and you know, there's a time of year for that, and the time is starting to come in.
Yeah.
So if they had something prepped already, you know, for the cooler months, you know, they could have that as a sale, or you know, just something like that. I think clothing would be a better way to go.
That's not a bad idea. Everyone's seen the Power Ranger hoodies that I wear around. Those are from, I think, Gear Humans was the website, some place that, you know, prints out hoodies. Mm-hmm. Like 50 some odd dollars, and it's nice. It's cool, but yeah. Why isn't I can't even remember who has Power Rangers right now, but whoever's got it, why aren't they making $60-$70 high quality Power Ranger hoodies like I've got?
Exactly, that would be really cool.
I would be willing to pay a little bit more for and not that those are bad, but something in the actual like cotton poly type, yeah. You know, with less blurring and stuff, but
yeah, something high quality, because like no one wants to like go out and buy a t-shirt or something that just has like movie title.
Yeah,
you know, put in a little creativity, get some like a good like art idea on it that would look really cool, that would stand out. You know, I think that would be better. You know, I don't really know how much, you know, people spend on clothing merch, but you know, they're not buying figures, so
yeah. Anyways, I said I didn't want to get into the weeds of all of that, and look where we ended up. You know, the other thing I kind of wanted to do before the break, to kind of lighten the mood. Ha! While it is a lewd show from time to time, yes. Talk about something that you and I used to really enjoy, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, and it's now the crappy Attorney General show that they did a few years ago, which was really just we hate Trump, and not that I necessarily love Trump, didn't vote for the guy either time. But it was just like, you guys wasted an opportunity for great stuff,
yeah,
to literally just rail against 2016.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, with the whole, like, you know, anti-Trump, it's just overplayed. Try something new and fresh. You know, it would have been better. And, yeah, so it's like, I don't even remember it. I deleted it from my brain. That's really, how really little it bad. Mattered to yeah. me. Whereas, like, I don't even remember what happened. I care that little.
Yeah. You know? I like how you said it. It was just, like, overkill. It's like, yeah, that was a good joke the first time we heard it on the first nighttime talk show.
Mm-hmm.
But by the third or fourth time, okay.
Yeah,
we like, got it.
Freshen it up,
and that's for it, beating a dead horse is beating a dead horse, regardless of topic or party affiliation. But I saw the Bird Girl, and I guess I could go ahead and transition us over there. Well, I saw it first. I thought
that's true. Yeah,
and then I mentioned it to you, and when I saw it, I was like, oh my goodness. I didn't see any Hanna-Barbera cartoons in the picture, and I read it, and I was like, "Oh my God, is this going to be more of, you know, Harvey Birdman, Attorney General?" And it ends up not necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what this is actually trying to be. There's a lot of. What many would call woke jokes and things in there, but they borderline on parody.
Yeah, where it's like it kind of doesn't quite land. Some of the jokes land, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed, but you know, just some of it was like, I'm not quite sure what you were trying to tackle there. But yeah, and then sometimes like with the cussing, where it's just kind of, it felt out of place, like it didn't need to be there.
And we fucking love to fucking to curse throw grown up words as we call them in this house because all words are made up technically none are bad just how you use them context matters yada yada but that being said there's times where it's great and necessary and sometimes where it's comedic and other times where you're like it would have been better if you hadn't and this was one of those times or like I mentioned it last night Metalocalypse is one of my favorite examples of where I prefer the show's censored because I find the pinch harmonic censor sounds to be way funnier than hearing Nathan Explosion actually say fuck that's a personal preference
it was really funny. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
What was it? First episode of this, we heard her say fuck like twice, maybe three times, and they're spread out, so it's not even like they're trying to be over the top with it or anything. It was almost like they wanted to make it natural, but it just it still felt out of place. But biggest thing to me that felt out of place, besides the lack of Hanna-Barbera cartoons, was the length. These are 20-plus minute episodes.
And they feel too long.
Way too much. There's a lot of quick, good cut gags and jokes that they try to play out like they did on Harvey Birdman, but they shorten this down to 11 to 13 minute segments. And you guys have some potential if you could if you could give me a sign on are you like parodying some of these social commentary issues because
tone matters you know when you're trying to explain like when you're trying to express like sarcasm or something tone matters and the same with parody you need that right that's the sweet spot
because it's all. It almost feels like you're trying to toe the line to where some on staff might legitimately feel like some of the, and I'm using it for just generalisms, wokeness, quote unquote, in the world is too far and they would want to parody it. But you might have those on staff that think, you know, the quote unquote wokeness isn't far enough or is just right. And they don't want to parody it. So it really does feel like they're trying to walk this odd line where it's like, what'd you think? Was it a joke? Did you find it funny? It was funny? Okay, good. Then it was meant to be a joke. Yeah, that's what it was. Oh, you were no, it wasn't meant to be a joke. We support XYZ, you know? This that or whatever. Not saying those as pronouns. Those are just topic holders. Fucking hate 2021. I don't know. We turned it off partway through this second episode just out of boredom, really.
Yeah, because it just felt too lengthy. I did enjoy that it did fit the Harvey Birdman attorney at law. You know, you got that feel. You know, it feels like it's in that place. Mm-hmm. And of course, it feels like Bird Girl.
Yeah.
Except for the occasional sprinkling of the cuss words. It's like, okay, why?
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
I wonder if the cursing would have landed better censored.
Yeah.
With some sort of bird noise or even one of her little mouth noises that she's always made. Bird Girl, you know, and do-do-do and all that. If they had done something clever with censoring it that way.
I think it'd be funny to go back maybe to where it was like Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, where like the episode where Harvey gets sued and
I can't make out that last one.
Yeah, like that, yeah. Or the actual like the beeping sound where the villain gets injured and he's I can't feel my legs and then I can't feel my third, and then it cuts.
Yeah, things then, like that. I could see that as
Potamus
well.
With my third leg. Yeah, so it's like stuff like that would have been great.
I can't feel my geek.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's like, gonna say ka. I remember the third legs Potamus. That too. But basically we're saying, or at least I'm saying, I won't speak for her, that I I have no issues with F-bombs. Say it all you want. Just make sure it sounds right. Right. Mm-hmm. And look for comedic placement. Comedic use of censoring. Because I think that's an underutilized thing. Like, think about those YouTube channel that does the censors cartoons and stuff in interesting places. Everyone loves those. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like the comedy of using censorship. And like we were talking old Birdman and Metalocalypse. So anywho, let's go ahead and take a quick word from our sponsors over at Grow Generation.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation is your one-stop shop for hydroponic grow supplies, product systems, and more. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Daily Cup of Genre. I don't know why I came in like it was like the beginning of the show, but screw it. Rolling with it. No. Yes. Thank you, Grow Generation, for sponsoring the episode, as always, where the pros go to grow. Hey, guys, no matter what you're growing, indoors, outdoors, small, medium, large, give them a look. All right. From herbs to herb, you know, you can do it all. Oh boy, guys, we are getting closer and closer, almost a month away, a little over a month away from the release of Ghostbusters Afterlife. Jesus. Afterlife. Jesus. Ha. Anyways, and reviews are starting to come out, and people are going to have a time and a half, and we can already see some splitting amongst fans of the original Ghostbusters, old and young, having a divergence with the fans of the 2016 film. Some of those people have been that were involved with the film, actors and actresses, cast and crew, whatever, have been in the news recently, bringing up old stories and whatnot, and then of course, you've got the people in the middle that are just like, it doesn't quite look or feel like Ghostbusters, but I'm hoping it's good. Mm. But everyone's got an agenda, it seems these days. And in Ghostbusters Afterlife, it's really about whether or not you appreciate the nostalgia and whether or not it's enough. So let's take a look at some critic reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, and I'll go ahead and zoom in for you guys a little bit. Bit more try to hear from The Guardian. Here we can find a damning summary of modern Hollywood's default mode, a nostalgia object drained of personality and fitted into a dully palatable mold custom made for fandom that worships everything and respects nothing.
Ouch.
Despite a fresh female forward spin and clever evolutions of its hallmarks, this resurrection of a previous franchise suffers from an over-reliance on its previous life. So I'm going to take those two just from the get-go, because I am one of those that's like, my nostalgia goggles are off, guys. There are still things that I like to see callbacks to, but when it came to Ghostbusters Afterlife, when it was like, when we saw what they were doing with the kids and the whole Stranger Things and it feeling, I was just like, man, you guys are playing this too hard. You are meta within meta, because you are actually doing a nostalgia bit in a nostalgia piece that was done in other nostalgia bits. With a character that played in two nostalgia-filled and nostalgia-loved properties, Finn Wolfhard. Mm-hmm. So I get that. But it doesn't necessarily in and of itself make it bad.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I'll have to see what it says. But I'm kind of curious about the second review. Despite a fresh female forward spin, did she forget about 2016?
Well, I...
Because it's not fresh. I mean, the female forward spin, you could say that, but, I mean, it's definitely not
maybe because fresh. It's a kid this time?
Well, then, yeah, say something kid, more like...
female or...
Yeah, like...
Girl for even though girl can colloquially be used for non-children, I usually, if you hear girl, you immediately think younger. You don't think 30-year-old ladies like in the first one. You think college or younger, whatever. And female covers all of that for whatever. But they are saying a lot of reviews, and we're only looking at some of the little snippets here. Talk about McKenna Grace's character and. I don't think is it Phoebe or is that the mom's name? I can't remember.
That's the little girl's
but,
name.
McKenna Grace is the character she plays, the young girl daughter of Egon's granddaughter. So while I agree that personally I am done with nostalgia overall, individual projects can still come out and hit nice, hit right, and do well. Well, by me, for me, do it well to me. but that doesn't mean that I necessarily want to green light another nostalgia filled project. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That being said, when people are bitching about, oh, this is made for a fandom that worships everything and respects nothing, or oh, this is too much fan service, I don't appreciate this fan dude or chick or girl, whatever, you are
females.
Yeah, I know, right? You are every bit as much of a fucking fan service glutton as everyone else is. You just are pissed that they didn't pick your fandom to cater to. Let's look at just a few things, okay? One of the things I've brought up consistently about franchises is they're supposed to make money, right? Mm-hmm. They're supposed to make your business money, whether it's a game, a board game franchise, video game franchise, movie, television franchise. Your job is to entertain us and convince us to spend money. If your fandom does not provide enough money, and no one kept women who, you know, they said, okay, well, you don't want to watch Charlie's Angels reboot, it's not for you, it's not for you, man, it's okay. No, they didn't go see it. And then when females didn't show up in droves for it either, they were like shocked and surprised that there's not as many female action flick fans willing to at least see that franchise as they thought.
Yeah.
You can say what you want about those early 2000 films that were, you know, sexualized the stars and whatnot. Sex sells. People that voluntarily do it, they voluntarily do it. We all know Hollywood's got issues, but it doesn't take away from the fact that people of sound mind with no history of abuse or any coercion, male and female, 100% know that they're attractive and use that to their advantages. And I'm talking in legal ways, like modeling and acting and all of that. Regardless, if your fandom is not supporting enough, too bad. So sad. Either make something smaller specifically for them, a Netflix animated movie, a comic book, a video game, a direct streaming movie, any of those. You're just going to have to accept the fact that as of right now, not as many people in your demographic or in your fandom and or whatever want to see it. Men went and saw the original Charlie's Angels because the girls were attractive. You had funny man Bill Murray to offer some comedy, and yes, the women that wanted to see women kick ass, and the men that wanted to see women kick ass went and saw women kick ass as well as look attractive while doing it. And that's not to say that the women that played in the new one aren't attractive or didn't look good on screen. They absolutely did. But it didn't, when you tell men it's not for you, and you're not even offering anything for them, and say that to them, and I mean anything for them in those that are in that mindset, because I'm not a Charlie's Angels fan anyways. You weren't going to get me to see the movie no matter what, no matter how much or how little clothing there was. That being said, if you're not offering a group something to see, and that they're the biggest group.
I think the best way to word it is, you know, with like so many movies like that where it's a redo, another redo. It's like the problem isn't the fans. The problem is you. Like there was someone that we knew who had four ex-wives and he hated his ex-wives. And it's like, dude, you sure it ain't you? You know, like that kind of thing. And I know it's like, it's not the same person doing the same thing. It's, you know, multiple people, but it's still that same idea of, yeah, there was a Charlie's Angels TV show and then a movie. And then now we're going to do another movie. Are you sure that we want that?
That too.
And then with this, I don't want this because I know how heavy the proton packs are. And it's like,
No 11, 12-year-old kid, male or female, is going to run around like that in average build. Now,
if you had high schoolers where it's like, you know, you got like a football player, you know, like a female soccer player, or, you know, like volleyball player, or, you know, like something from the sports. You got a bunch of teens. Then, yeah, I would support that. But, I mean, the little girl in it is just way too little. It's like how
Finn Wolfhard doesn't have any. Not saying that the kid can't throw a punch or lift, but he doesn't look like he can handle that. While you had grown men in the first two films
complaining about it. Yeah, where it's like Jesus is heavy. Yeah, so
I always hated this part of the job.
Yeah. So
To get into some of the positive ones, let's look at those. Leah Sydney from Showbiz 411, Ghostbusters Afterlife is a film fan's dream come true, a charming, fun, and mightily enjoyable time at the movies. Don't miss it. John Nguyen from Nerd Reactor, Ghostbusters Afterlife pays homage to the classic films while also being its own movie. Here's one from AV Club. It's a particularly craven reboot strategy. Send the audience on a journey of assurance, in this case that their childhood heroes were great and the toys they played with were super cool. Again, you're like angry that they appeal to the existing fan base. Jesus Christ, people, what don't you get? There's not enough of you. Well, whatever you are in your fandom, if your topic is not getting rebooted or the reboot fails, your show gets canceled. And I don't care what ideology or what message it's sending or where it comes from. If it is not successful, don't bitch. If it doesn't, when it's not successful, either it's not a big enough demographic to appeal to that targeted, or it was a bad project. It's one of those two. If the general audiences aren't eating it, and we're not talking about the small toxic cesspools out there that said legit racist, sexist things about this or Fantastic Four, whatever year that was, 2015 or whatever, or anything, guys, anything, really. Just, and why is it so wrong to appeal to a fan base? Is there anything inherent other than, well, it was 1980s. Why didn't you have females? Because it was the 1980s. Is there anything inherently wrong with the original Ghostbusters? We could get into things about Winston. Absolutely. But from what I saw, you had two very, very strong-willed female characters.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of which, until you get to the second one, got bogged down in a ridiculous romance.
Mm-hmm.
Janine takes no shit in the first film. Dana takes no shit in the first film. And you have good chemistry and all of that. So legitimately, other than short strawing Winston, like I said, we can have a legit conversation about that.
Yeah.
Where's bad about Ghostbusters? So why is appealing to fans of that a bad thing? And you could do that while introducing new characters. I don't like the kids. I would have done like Randall Park and Paul Rudd, and fuck it, after seeing WandaVision, throw Kat Dennings in there as a goddamn Ghostbuster, because her and Randall Park as Agent Wu were just awesome in WandaVision. You can bring something new and still appeal to people like myself.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Christine? I ranted for a while.
Yeah, you did. In a lot of ways, I agree. I still like my original idea, where it's like it gets kept in the family, where the people who were involved in the Ghostbusters, you know, their kids, you know, get involved, and, you know, or it kind of becomes like, because they've built this kind of family thing going on there,
city,
and it's just like, you know, like
yeah, we just got demonetized.
That's just like something that I would have done, you know. So I don't know, just I don't think they'll ever do it how I want, but to me it's just kind of like this is the second attempt. I think it's time to just be done if it doesn't land, because I haven't seen it. Right here they've got, what was it, 80-something% fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's like an 81 right now, I think.
Yeah. So overall, we'll eventually see what, viewers, mm-hmm. the audience score would be 81. Okay. Yeah. What the audience says, instead of just people, you know, reviewing it, from like these critics,
a lot of 4 out of 5, 4.5 out of 5.
So it's like if it doesn't land with the audience, then maybe you should just stop, you know, shelve it, you know, if you want to try it again later, maybe. I wouldn't personally. It's like, I think it's time to be done with the Ghostbusters in this capacity. And
that's
will
the key word.
Yeah. And one thing I will say, if you touch Back to the Future, you've made an enemy for life.
Yeah.
It's the last pure thing.
Yeah.
Do not touch it.
They can't until Gail and Bob Zemeckis are gone, because that's their thing. They said no, and
thank the Lord.
Once they're gone and their estate has control, you know, someone, not necessarily the first estate, someone is going to be like, fuck it, yeah, reboot that shit.
Well, then what I hope is that they...
We're dead by then?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that have a lifespan like Queen Elizabeth. Just stick around for as long as you can.
Like I said, until we're all gone. No. One thing I will say is I think that the more issues someone has with the old crew, the more or the lower the score is. I don't know, guys. Look, I personally, like I said, I don't want to see kids. I don't think, while I loved Ghostbusters as a kid, it's not for kids. Guys, you watch the original movie, that is assuredly a 13, 14-year-old plus movie in order to fully appreciate both the comedy and the story, as well as adding a third, the effects. Mm-hmm. The nine-year-olds, we just didn't. Whether we want to admit it or not. Now, we got a hell of a lot more entertainment out of Ghostbusters 2 because that was basically a live-action, the real Ghostbusters episode.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it's really easy, so to speak, to impress nine-year-olds. And with this, it seems more of a line down there with just enough. Hey, all of you fans of Stranger Things and It, come on over and watch this. And if you were old, I get it. I have a lot of those thoughts too. But at the same time, appealing to people that are fans of the originals, like they are, is gonna make a shit ton more money,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah, I'm like, what comes to mind is Star Wars. I mean, there's plenty of problems with the original trilogy if you go back and watch, and it's like, yeah, there's some issues, but you know, there's still that love for it. There's still greatness to it. But then watching episodes 1 through 3, and you're just like, yeah, you definitely just try to make this for kids instead of having a good, happy blend.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like, you know, try to be careful with stuff like that. I don't like corny jokes, you know.
Yeah.
Like with C-3PO's head, you know, where R2-D2 gets it and
mm-hmm.
you're like, oh, this is such a drag. It's like, no, please don't. That's a little too cheesy. what was that? Yeah, the third one? No.
Episode three?
I think it was two.
Where R2 can fly all of a sudden. And yeah. I had someone on Twitter today tell me in a straight face that even without the Clone Wars, George Lucas assuredly presented us with enough story and emotional interactions between Anakin and Obi-Wan Kenobi for it to be a compelling and thrilling lightsaber duel at the end of Revenge of the Sith. No, dude, like I meet people like you every now and then. I don't fucking get it. They spend no time together.
Yeah.
Ah. It's garbage. Anyways, that being said, I got one last question for you on this, because okay. One of the biggest things people always bring up, kind of circling back to the Charlie's Angels thing and the Ghostbusters 2016 thing, people often try to bring up the idea of nature versus nurture, the idea that girls aren't necessarily encouraged or offered the opportunities to get into geek and pop culture things. And for Gen X, yeah. For the older millennials,
geriatric less
millennials. So. Yeah. For the, you know, middle-aged millennials and younger, not in small groups, sure. I know your upbringing didn't necessarily keep you from those things because your parents watched geek and sci-fi things, fantasy stuff. Your brother watched geek.
Yeah, my mom's a Trekkie.
Yeah. So, and you had plenty of friends and stuff. And I know our upbringing's different being army brats. But, I mean, do you think today, can you still point to gatekeeping, which has and still hell, fuck, new gatekeepers are worse in some ways than the old ones. Do you feel it's still that big of an issue? Are older fans of video games and whatnot keeping females from getting into it by saying, well, if you're a real fan, what was so-and-so's first such-and-such?
Well, to be honest, I avoid like conflict, and part of that is social media, because there are so many toxic people who are on social media over a variety of different things. So I haven't had anyone try to test my fandom. No one's said anything to me. I've, you know, gone to conventions. I've gone into comic book shops.
All of our friends.
Yeah, exactly. No one says, oh, you're a fan of this? Well, then name this obscure thing. You know, no one's done that to me. And it's like, if you're around those people, maybe get away from them. Because, I mean, they're going to sprout up sometimes, you know, in life.
Sorry, keep going.
No, go ahead. What's your question?
I was going to say, did you feel that either your peers or any family members ever judged you if you were into something geeky, pop culture, fantasy? I know, like you said, your parents watch stuff, but yeah, extended family and friends. Did anyone ever, Christy's watching Lord of the Rings, haha.
No. I've watched Lord of the Rings with my family. We watched Star Wars. We watched Star Trek. You know, we did stuff like that. Of course, like, we didn't do comic books. Mm-hmm.
Plus, but did movies, the comic book films.
Like, yeah, Spider-Man. And, yeah. You know, in fact, when I got my first ticket, we did...
Spider-Man 3?
No, it was Spider-Man 2. I thought it was Spider-Man 2. No,
it was 3.
It was?
Yeah. And I were not together for 2. Because 2 was 05,
okay, 04. Then it was 3. And, you know, I had already told my parents I was going to go, you know, watch the preview, and mm-hmm. I was out super late. I'm already an adult.
Speeding ticket.
Yeah, I got a ticket for it. And because I was trying to get home, we had gone to IHOP, and then I'm like, I'm too tired. It's like, what, 4 in the morning? I'm done. Yeah,
I had a dip out from IHOP or whatever because of work.
Yeah. So, I went. You know, home, and, you know, it was nothing like, oh my God, I can't believe you would do that. Like, no one in my family did that. Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at is just, guys, if you make something that the general audience likes, it'll make money and it'll stick around. Mm-hmm. And if you're not making it for the general audience, whatever demographic you are making it for, you need to match your budget and expectations to that audience. And demographic for me does not necessarily mean race, gender, orientation, or any of that. It means a particular fandom.
Yeah, I got something else to say. I forgot. Sure. We watched the Spider-Man cartoon and the X-Men cartoon mm-hmm. growing up. I watched that with my family, my dad and my brother. In fact, my dad was the kind of person where it's like, I think these cartoons are more for you, because he always seemed like a kid at heart. Mm-hmm. He would, you know, tease us and, you know, joke around and stuff like that. He was just that kind of person. So, we would watch stuff like that. No problem.
There you guys have it. Christine said something about social media, which I think is true. Mm-hmm. It's a cesspool, and people feel like because – whether you like to admit it or not, Twitter is actually a very, very small world. When you see, you know, 50,000 hearts or something on it, remember, people, there are 7 billion people in the world, mm-hmm. and there are 330 million in the United States alone. So 50,000 hearts on a tweet, it's not that indicative of anything. Like, no one's opinion. 50,000 fucking likes on anything is not an opinion on something unless it is a poll in a fucking city of 100,000. Then it's indicative of a split city. That's it. When you're talking millions or hundreds of millions to billions of people on social media platforms, 100,000, 200,000, fuck it, guys, even if someone came out and said or did something, and you had 1 million Americans demand action, it's a million out of 330 total, and what are we at? I think it's 170, 180 voting age adults, like, guys, less than 1%. So, yeah, Twitter is a lot of people, but they're They're all living in bubbles. I'll say we because I'm on there as well. You just got to make sure you understand that Twitter is a bubble and that it is actually comparatively very 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 small, so you can maintain a touch of reality. Mm-hmm. With that, I guess it's been a somewhat serious episode, yeah. And hopefully everyone's enjoyed it. I'm not going to repeat all the house cleaning stuff. So LRM Online, Jonverse Online, or Jonverse.com, LRMOnline.com, the Jonverse Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcast from, the LRM YouTube, YouTube channel, and all sorts of really great celebrity interviews, and all of our podcasts could go up on there. There's social media information for Christine and I, and the website's down below. Christine, got anything else you wanted to say? Any final thoughts or anything to plug?
No.
No.
No, I'm good.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.